For Community Church Incorporated preliminary site plan.
This is a preliminary site plan for Bay Shore Church Inc. for the establishment of a proposed 12,285-foot church building, 1,200-square-foot shed, parking, and other site improvements. The parcel contains 4.1 acres, more or less, and are located on the west side of Old Landing Road, Sussex 274, approximately 1.2 miles south of Warrington Road, Sussex County Road 275. The preliminary site plan with the Sussex County Zoning Code. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 18.00, and Parcels 78.00 and 7.01. The zoning is AR1, Agriculture Residential District. Staff are awaiting agency approvals. Should the Commission desire to act favorably on this proposal, staff are requesting final approvals to be subject to staff upon the receipt of all agency approvals.
Thank you. Any questions or concerns about this one? Okay. Yeah, I managed to work through my concerns. So, Mr. Chairman, regarding Site Plan 2537 Bay Shore Community Church Incorporated, I move to approve preliminary site plan.
Final by staff?
With final by staff, subject to receipt of all agency approvals.
The motion.
So moved and seconded to approve Site Plan 25-37 Bay Shore Community Church Incorporated as a preliminary with final approval to be by the staff, subject to receipt of all other agency approvals. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is Site Plan 24-52 Harbison DEA Solar, formerly known as RBE/ConEd, conditional use number 2381.
This is a revised final site plan. This is a revised final site plan for the construction of a facility and related site improvements. Conditional use number 2381 to allow for the use as a solar facility at the site was approved by Sussex at their meeting of Tuesday, February 6th, 2024, through ordinance number 2980. The final site plan previously received final approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission as of Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. This revised plan includes revisions to the location of the solar arrays, buffer strips, trans, and access road on the site. Property is located on the south side of Lewis-Georgetown Highway, Route 9, approximately 0.6 miles east of the intersection of Harbison Road, Route 5, and Lewis Highway. Applicant has provided details of the proposed financial package for decommissioning for review by the Commission. Subject to the review of the applicant's proposed financial security, the final plan comes with the Sussex County Zoning Code and all conditions of approval for conditional use number 2381. The zoning is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. The tax parcel is District 235, Map 30.00, Parcel 58.06, Parcel 58.07, and Parcel 61.0. Staff are in receipt of all agency approvals, and the plan is eligible for both preliminary and final approval.
Just real question on this, is everybody good with the proposed financial security? I know this is a revised, and so we probably are good with it before, but.
Yes, and it was actually as well.
Okay, great. Let's just
and the fabric
sure
is the there, and the trees.
Yes, everything, the screening on the trees.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chair, with regards to S24-52, Harbor EA Solar, formerly known as RWE, Ed, conditional use number 2381, I make a motion to approve the final site plan as a final.
Second.
And seconded to approve Site Plan 2452, Harbison DE Solar, formerly known as RWE/ConEd, conditional use 2381 as a final. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, the next three solar site plans all have some elements in common that White House is going to give us a bit of a report on, because there's some information that he has to share with it may very well have a bearing on how we view these.
So this, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Larry has prepared some research. So the applicant had submitted a covering letter with these site plans explaining some ground and the what has led up to them coming up to the Planning and Zoning Commission. In the letter, there was reference to prior applications. So what Mr. Larry has prepared today is a summary of those applications. And I was going to hand it over to Mr. Larry to summarize each, and then we can circle back on and any questions the Commission might have. So,
okay.
Essentially, the rest of it is all of these applications, as submitted by the engineer who has made this to the Commission, these were all applications prior to the adoption of the solar ordinance by the county. So as such, there was no specific solar ordinance code governing solar improvements. And as such, I have listed each one, the unique accompanying specific condition of approval as it may have related to buffers and planted buffers relating to each solar plan, as well, including the specific planting ratios in terms of the trees. What you may note is that because the conditions, the conditioning of the buffers prior to the ordinance were very application or site specific, they all have variances to them. And you will also note that the planting ratios are also included. With enough of them, it doesn't necessarily meet the 50 or 100 linear square foot, which is included with the perimeter buffer provisioning for subdivision. But in turn, it provides often 10 or 12 of the trees per linear 100 feet. And in some cases, in addition to those 12 trees per linear 100 feet, it is providing shrubs to the rate of 10 per 100 linear feet. So while the plantings aren't, they don't really mirror the guidance that is provided in the buffer requirements for major subdivisions, the applicant is requesting what would amount to basically a waiver or a variance or a waiver to the requirement for the number of trees.
Great, thank you. To summarize, Mr. Chairman, in the run-up to preparing these three site plans, staff have conducted their usual review, and we send our review letter to the applicant. And where we've noticed what we believe to be on a staff level a shortfall in the buffer, that there's been a back and forth with the applicant, i.e. the number of trees is less in the site plan proposals than you would ordinarily see for a subdivision. Obviously, you receive letters from the applicant explaining that this is not a residential subdivision, that there is fencing as proposed in addition to that, and the buffering dimensions are different. The standard that staff have pointed out to is the only standard that we have in code. But the ordinance does say, when we adopted the ordinance, it does say in 115.172.1, and it's summarized in the bottom left-hand corner of that summary we prepared for you, it does say that the setbacks and or buffering may be increased or waived due to particular site-related conditions. So the Commission does have the power to accept a modified design. It's just that the examples that have been put forward were all prior to the adoption of the county's ordinance. And that's where we put that table together for you. So there is a common thread to these three remaining site plans. And that's hopefully the explanation as a background and why they're different. So.
All good information. Thank you.
Yeah. Ready? Anybody have issues with giving the variance, or would you like to stay with the buffer as per the solar ordinance?
Or do you think we need to defer and look at each of them uniquely?
I think that's a great idea. Mr. Chairman, I move to defer site plan 2542, citation 49 farm solar photovoltaic facility, conditional use 2470.
A second.
Move the second to defer action on site plan 2542, citation 49, farms, folder, vote.
Aye. Aye.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we defer site plan 2472, Frankfurt Community Energy Intuitive 2, LLC, conditional use 2365.
A second.
Move and second to defer action on site plan 2472, Frankfurt Community Energy Initiative 2, LLC. I just realized your microphone's not on. Oh, sorry.
How'd that happen? Because I know I turned it on in the beginning. Oh, well. It's been moved and seconded to defer action on site plan number 2472, Frankfurt Community Energy Initiative 2, LLC, conditional use number 2365. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is site plan 25-31, Chaberton Energy, Blue Hen Solar, conditional use number 2398, preliminary site plan.
Mr. Chairman, once again, I defer site plan 2531, Caberton Energy, Blue Hen Solar, conditional use 2398.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on site plan 2531, Chaberton Energy, Blue Hen Solar, conditional use number 2398. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Okay, our next item is lands of Faisal and Saima Kayani, minor subdivision plan off of a proposed 40-foot easement.
This is a minor subdivision plan for the creation of four lots plus the residual lands with access off a proposed 40-foot wide ingress egress access easement. Proposed lot one will consist of 1.00 acre, more or less. Proposed lot two will consist of 1.00 acre, more or less. Proposed lot three will consist of 1.12 acres, more or less. Proposed lot four will consist of 1.00 acre, more or less, and the residual lands will contain 19.64 acres, more or less. A shared use maintenance agreement shall be established for the use of the shared access road. The property is located south of Old Furnace Road, Sussex County Road 46. The minor subdivision plan complies with the Sussex County zoning and subdivision codes. The tax parcel is District 231, map 13.00, parcel 154.04. The zoning is AR1, Agriculture Residential District. Staff are in receipt of all agency approvals. Therefore, the plans are eligible for both preliminary and final approval.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the minor and final subdivision plan of a proposed 40-foot easement for lands of Franzel and Samea Kayanaya.
I second.
So moved and seconded to approve the lands of Faisal and Saima Kayani as a preliminary and final subdivision plat off of a proposed 40-foot easement. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Our next item is subdivision 2018-18, Channel Point, formerly known as Bishop's Point and Cannon property. Conditional use number 2368. Installation of gates, discussion as to code interpretation. Now, just so I understand what we're doing here, Mr. Robertson, this is a discussion about code interpretation. It's not a decision on the gate.
I guess that's a question more for staff, how this is teed up. I mean, I know that's how it is, it's a discussion whether it needs to go to a public hearing or not, but is it also a discussion whether or not to approve the request?
So what staff received in that letter on May 15th was, right. was a letter requesting essentially a director's determination. And prior to that, we wanted to bring it to the commission to obtain the commission's view prior to any response going out. So it's a question as to whether it requires a public hearing. We don't actually currently have the revised site plan in front of us. Although we do have in the packet, there is an exhibit at least showing indicatively where it is, but it's not a formal revised plan for you to consider. So the answer is yes and no. There is an indicative site plan before you to see where it is, but essentially what is before you today is your input on the process.
Or public hearing or no public hearing.
Okay, that's different than sort of my understanding.
Okay,
The question then is whether it goes to a public hearing. It strikes me that just consistent with past practice, if it doesn't go to a public hearing, it would come back to the commission for amended site plan as another business item.
Correct.
So that I think that's the question, whether it needs to be sent to a public hearing or whether it just needs to be put on a future agenda for consideration as an other business item, which is different than how, with all the information and arguments and things, that's different than what I thought.
Yeah, I think the question of public hearing or no public hearing really turns on the issue of public interest. And my understanding is that the subdivision is still in the complete control of the developer and the builder, that no lots have been sold, no representations have been made and induced anybody to hand over any money at this point, that it's just the applicant. In that situation, I don't particularly feel a need for a public hearing, but you commissioners may feel differently. So
I'll just before you, just for a little bit of context, the ones that I can think of in which there have been, because there have been public hearings on gate issues.
Yes.
You know, we had one several years ago that was litigated for Ocean Way Estates, but that was because it was a fully built out and existing subdivision. There were people there
different
that were impacted by it. And same thing with Schofield, and then the one, I can't remember the name of it, but on the outside of Gills Neck Road, one of the JLAM developments, which we recently had,
right.
Governors and whichever, the cottages behind commercial area. So, but those all impacted existing communities and existing people. You know, again, to your point, Mr. Wheatley, it's different if there's not third parties involved.
I understand that what I'm saying is that I don't think that it requires a public hearing. If upon further discussion, or if we consider this matter as an item of other business, you may in fact decide at that time that maybe a public hearing is needed after all, depending on what the testimony is. You know.
Well, I was prepared to make a motion this evening on it without a public hearing, so how do my fellow commissioners feel?
Can we do that?
Well, now that I look more closely at the agenda, that's not really how it's teed up on
the
agenda.
Yeah, that's not a problem. You know?
So we either need to say yes for
a hearing. Well, we say public hearing, no public hearing. Yeah. But I'm maintaining that once we see it as an item of other business and discuss it further, you certainly could decide to send it to a public hearing then. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that you always have that opportunity to do that. So, again, using the Oceanway Estates example, and that one, it was on another business item at some point, and then there was enough interest in it and there was a realization of the impact of it. It was sent to a public hearing because there was a determination that it was a, I may not use the exact words that are in the subdivision code, but it was a substantial alteration or substantial amendment to the site plan that was originally considered, but also because there were people impacted by it. So you're not, by saying that we don't need it to go automatically to a public hearing, you're also not shutting the door on that possibility in the future. So I guess the decision tree is that, you know, it comes back. If you say no public hearing today, you say it doesn't need to go to a public hearing, then it would come back. If the applicant submits a revised site plan and they do all the stuff they need to do, it would come back on other business. At that point, you could approve it, you could deny it, or if you still feel like there's just more information you need, at that point you could send it to a public hearing.
So if that's what we choose to do, then we would just, how do we handle what's in front of us today? Just defer it for a public, or for other business on another meeting?
I don't think it requires it. Does it require a motion today?
So we brought it here for discussion. So having heard the discussions,
I think what we're saying is that you could put it on for other business so that they don't have to wait, you know, 6 months to have it to find out. We can put it on as soon as you can get it on.
Yeah. As soon as they submit the information.
As soon as they submit the plan, and then we'll take it up then. And I'm and just say myself that if there's not, you know, there aren't any other circumstances we're not aware of, I don't have a problem acting on it without a public hearing. Okay, but it's got to be in front of us first, and right now it's not in front of us.
Okay,
what's in front of us is, do we want a public hearing or not? And I'm going to stay, not yet.
Okay.
let's
I agree, and do I
plan.
Need to make a motion with that?
I don't think so. Just the staff knows it just needs to be put back on another business once the site plan's submitted.
There you go.
I'll hold my motion that I have
all right.
in the future.
Very good.
Thanks for that explanation from Mr. Whitehouse and staff, because that wasn't clear to me what the request was.
And I have a curious question about this very detailed document here. How long did it take you to do this, come up with all this?
I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes altogether. Thanks to Director Whitehouse's influence over the department in recent years, we have all of this information digitized. So it's
fairly easy to retrieve.
You can access
it. That is good.
Fairly easy.
Yeah, it is.
Isn't that something? Amazing. That's just amazing. I was looking at that and thinking, man, that must have taken him all day.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Good information.
Which actually is probably what you should have said. Oh, it took me forever.
Days.
But thank you for telling the truth. We always appreciate that. Okay, moving on to